Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting or agreeing unto Stephen's death. That means that he was really behind it. And it'll be wonderful when Stephen wakes up at the day of resurrection, when Jesus comes back, and he sees Saul, who the last he saw of him was there arranging his killing, his murder. And so all these things will be changed, and that's how wonderful the resurrection will be, that Saul and Stephen will meet each other. And there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad, except the apostles. Jesus had told them to go and preach the gospel all over the world, the good news of his death and resurrection. But the Jews didn't really seem to want to do that, the Jewish Christians. I think they thought that only the Jews could be saved. And so God worked through this thing because they were scattered because of being chased and persecuted. And that actually led, as we'll see, to the gospel spreading. And faithful men buried Stephen. You can imagine his body lying there, having been stoned to death. And then these faithful Christians walking out in front of the crowd and picking up his body. I'm sure Saul and others would have been shouting rude things at them and hating them. So they really showed their commitment to their brother. And they made great weeping over him. But Saul destroyed the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, put them into prison. So they met in those days in houses, in homes, in house churches. And Saul went round to these house churches and dragged the Christians out and put them into prison. Therefore, those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So as I say, this was the good thing that came out of all this. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Christ to them. And the crowds there paid attention to what he said, looking at the miracles and the wonders which he did. Even the lame were healed, that is, people who couldn't walk. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man there who before had worked as a wizard and like a witch in that city called Simon, making out that he was some great person. And they all respected him, thinking that this man is the great power of God. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And the significance of the women being baptized is that religion was really seen as a hobby for men, whereas true Christianity is far more than that. It's not really a religion. It is the ultimate truth of Jesus. And so it's significant that all people, including women, accepted it. Because the gospel is for all people. And Simon himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, looking at these signs and wonders that were being done. Now when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They'd just been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that by laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he might get the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your money perish with you, because you've thought that the gift of God can be purchased with money." So, this is the trouble with people who love money, and when money and the love of money and Christianity get mixed. And we see this all the time. People trying to use the truth of Jesus Christ to get money for themselves, because he obviously thought, if I have the power to give people the Holy Spirit, I can charge them money for that. And so Peter says to him, "Repent of this your wickedness and pray to God so that the thought of your heart will be forgiven you." So again, you see that the real sin is in the thought of our heart. He hadn't actually done anything wrong at that time, but he thought of doing it wrong, and so that was counted as sin. So Peter says, pray to God, pray to the Lord, that this might be forgiven you. But Simon answered and said to Peter, you pray to the Lord that none of this will happen to me. So this is typical of religion. This Simon is told, you've got to repent and pray to the Lord for forgiveness. And he says to Peter, oh, can you pray for me? Well, we can't get other people to do our spiritual things for us. We must pray to the Lord ourselves. And this is why relationship with God and with Jesus is very personal. We can't use a church or a religion or someone else to do it for us. So when they had preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, and they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south to the way that goes down away from Jerusalem to Gaza, to the area that is desert. And he arose and went. So he's told to go into the middle of nowhere, and he does. Just like we should, even if it apparently makes no sense. And there was a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. Now that means a man who couldn't have children, but it also means that he was somebody high up in the government, a eunuch of great power under Queen Candace of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. And now he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran to him. So he's enthusiastic, running in the hot weather in the desert. And he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless some man should guide me? And he asked Philip to climb up and sit with him in the chariot. Now the place in the scroll that he was reading was this, and it's about Jesus. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he did not open his mouth. In other words, Jesus was so scared because he had human nature, he wasn't God, he had our nature. He was so scared that like a lamb is dumb with fright, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and nobody will declare his children. That is, he's going to die. For his life is taken from the earth. Now, of course, this eunuch also didn't have children. So he was thinking, this person who's a saviour is rather like me. And that's the great power of the fact that the Lord Jesus was our representative and had our human nature. The eunuch said to Philip, please tell me, of whom is the prophet speaking, about himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from that scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came to some water. This must have been an oasis. And the eunuch, the official, said, behold, here is water. What stops me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you can. And he replied and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there was no great interview, there was no test that he had to sit. And you notice that the desire for baptism was from the man. He said, here's water, can I be baptized? And that's how it should be. Parents and people in the church can't push you to be baptized. You have to decide for yourself. But once you've decided that, yes, here's water, can I be baptized, then there is nothing to hinder you or stop you. If you believe with all your heart, you can be. And all he said was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. I suppose it means he told the horses to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched away Philip. And the eunuch didn't see him anymore. And he went on his way, rejoicing. So you see then that baptism is a going down into the water, like connection with the death of Jesus, and coming up out of the water is like resurrection with him. And the eunuch, the Ethiopian, goes happily on his way to Ethiopia. There was no church there. You don't need a church. He had Jesus with him, and he was rejoicing that he'd been baptized into Jesus, and that was enough. Because, as we read in Acts chapter 7, God does not live in temples made with hands. He lives in the hearts of individuals. Nothing against churches. I'm just saying that this man had no church, no religious structure. He was alone with Jesus and with God, and he was happy. But Philip was found at Azotus, and preaching all around that area, he then came to Caesarea.